This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And then in 2012, when the conflict broke out in Syria, I wasn't really aware of the nuances, even though I traveled to Syria before that and I knew that there was zulm, there was oppression taking place and stuff. I wasn't aware of the kind of finer details about the Alawite minority population, their beliefs, and how they had, you know, most of the control and power in government. And so it was a group of brothers that came to visit me, and they were like, look, we want to take a convoy to Syria. You've got experience. You've been leading convoys through all of these countries. We want you to lead the convoy. And I remember going to all the organizations that I knew and saying, look, guys, this is what we're doing. And basically nobody wanted to help us. Everybody was like, no, it's too hot. We can't help you. You know, we need to see what the British government's going to say about this first. You know, this kind of cowardice, kind of colonized mindset, I call it. So yeah, we ended up taking the small convoy. Some of the brave hearts from the UK, Muazzam Beg came with us. Obviously, Guantanamo survivor, one of my teachers, one of my mentors, may Allah bless him. And you don't need to say anything about his bravery and sacrifices for the Ummah. So we took 13 ambulances, it was. Some organizations did help us under the table. And April 2012, we took the first aid convoy from the UK. It was difficult, but we managed to get those ambulances into Syria. So yeah, when I went in April, I was like, how can I leave this place? You know, people are getting killed. I saw, you know, mothers, you know, crying over their children who had been killed by barrel bombs. And I just said to myself, how can I, as a man, see this take place and leave? You know, I thought of the ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية. يعني the verse basically says what is wrong with you that you don't struggle in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you see the men, the women and the children who are screaming out, Ya Rab, save us from this oppressor. And that just reverberated in my mind. I remember seeing, you know, the video, the images of Bashar soldiers burying, you know, people alive and saying to them, say, La ilaha illa Bashar. And I just said to myself, I can't.
SubhanAllah.
And so literally I went back to the UK, organized another convoy, told my wife, who we'd only been married for 10 months. I said, listen, pack your bags. We're going to Syria.
SubhanAllah.
And that's it. In December 2012, we were in Syria and we never looked back. I took two convoys to Syria myself. After that, I was inside Syria and the brothers continued to organize convoys and I would basically organize everything internally. But this is where the story gets a bit, I mean, it's part of our journey. And this is where, I mean, it wasn't all, what do they say? All rosy posy, if you want to call it that. So in 2013, we brought in a really big aid convoy of ambulances from the UK. At that time, ISIS was on the rise. Basically, there were 99 of those vehicles were being driven by Muslims. One was driven by a Christian called Alan Henning. So the convoy was at least 250 people because you have more than one driver for each vehicle. And out of those 250 people, we had one Christian. And Alan was a guy that basically he had empathy for the Syrian cause. He was very receptive to the da'wah. He was very close to becoming Muslim. And he was just a simple guy, a taxi driver. When we got the ambulances in and the ambulance reached Syria, they got to a place called Dana and ISIS came and kidnapped.
Oh my God. Wow.
So they kidnapped Alan Henning and what ended up happening is that many people on the convoy obviously got scared, ran back to the countries. It was chaotic. I tried negotiating with many of their leaders. We said to them, look, guys, this is haram what you're doing. We have given this person a covenant of safety and security. He's not someone of great importance in the UK. The UK is not going to pay you a ransom because, you know, ISIS, they were like, we're going to strike fear into the hearts of the kuffar. and, you know, we're going to get a ransom. And I pleaded with them. I negotiated with them for months. I was one of the people that negotiated with them or tried to negotiate with them. And unfortunately, to no avail. Eventually, they ended up putting Alan in a orange jumpsuit and filming it and basically decapitating him and executing
him.
Wow. And that was very, very problematic. Wow. When that happened, again, that was a turning point for me because my mom always told me, and it's something that's a part of my character and it sometimes gets me into trouble, but it's an Islamic principle, you know, that speak the truth, whether it's for you or against you. It's an ayah of Quran too.
Mm.
So at that point, I came out publicly against ISIS, me, Bilal, a few others, you know, troublemakers. And we basically started telling people that these people don't represent Islam whilst we were inside Syria. So this is what people need to understand. Many ulama, many people were still on the fence. They weren't sure. And we took a lot of heat. People were saying, you lot are munafiqeen. How can you say this? These guys are mujahideen. And we're like, guys, we're in Syria. People are like, no, you're looking at Western news. We're like, we're in Syria. We know these people. We see what they're doing to the Muslims, right? And so, yeah, they tried to kill me. I had a black Toyota Hilux. They put a bomb in under it, but alhamdulillah, I survived.
Wow.
I had a gym. I had a youth project where I would train youngsters in a refugee camp. They put a bomb in that. I survived, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. This is an insane story. I did not expect this at all. By the way, everyone, I came into this totally cold, not having a clue. But this is insane. Keep going.
I've got loads of stories, bro. This is just the beginning.
So we
continued. Alhamdulillah, we persevered. Those were difficult times. Many people said to us, look, you're crazy. What are you doing? And we said, look, this is the truth. We have to make sure that, you know, people know the reality. And it took quite a while before other people caught on and realized, yeah, actually, these guys are what, you know, these lot are saying. But subhanAllah, obviously now there's no dispute over this. But at that time, it was a very difficult stance to take. But alhamdulillah, there was a lot of blessings in barakah in that. Obviously, we didn't do it for any reward or for any reason. We just done it because it was the right thing to do. Because we saw the damage that they were inflicting, the murder. You know, they had a thing called qatal maslaha. We kill people for the greater benefit. This is one of like when we would talk to their scholars, like their shara'in, they called them, they would say, yeah, they would profess, we got qatal maslaha. We had a maslaha to kill that person, so we killed him. And because, you know, we're building an Islamic state, it's fine. So
that's
so
some insane fit.
Yeah. Some insane, you know, situations. Yeah. So this is like one of those things when people say things to me, I say to them, look, guys, you're talking from things that you've seen on videos and stuff. We personally met these people. We've been in their courts. We've negotiated and we've spoke to these people and, you know, we know these people firsthand. We know, like, we've heard it from the horse's mouth. This is not a second or third party source. Do you understand? Like I said, people found it difficult to believe at that time, but obviously over time we were proven right. Not that that means anything. What matters is what, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and nothing else. But it's also nice to, you know, when people recognize that actually you guys took a stance that was very difficult and the right stance to take.
Yeah. I mean, you're, given the way they act, if they're doing qatl maslaha, I'm sure they're going to do a qatl taskeet or qatl to get someone to close their mouth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you survived two attempts from ISIS to kill you, to bomb you, essentially. And then at what point did you say, nah, forget this, I'm going back to England? And at what point did you say, no, you know what, I'll stay here?
there was never, I'm going back to England.
Subhanallah.
I mean,